Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَقَتَلَ دَاوُدُ جَالُوتُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they routed them by Allah's leave and David killed Goliath. وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah gave him, David, the kingdom after the death of Jalut. وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also taught him wisdom and عَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ, and he taught him other things that he willed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Sayyidina Dawood kingdom, and he has given him al-hikmah, wisdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught him knowledge. Hikmah was interpreted as good judgment and the ability to run the affairs of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Sayyidina Dawood some miracles and unique qualities. Dawood alayhi salam, first of all, had a beautiful voice. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hearing Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who had the most beautiful voice among the Sahaba in recitation of Qur'an. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari had the most beautiful voice in reading Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard him read Qur'an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ أُوتِيتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُدِ. You have been given a flute of the flutes of the family of Dawood. This does not mean a flute, literally. It means the beauty of the sound. The sound was so beautiful. And Rasulullah ﷺ is telling Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, you have part of that beautiful sound. Dawood's voice was so beautiful. In his tasbih and reading of their Qur'an, which was their book, the book of Dawood, because Dawood alayhi salam, he received the book from Allah. We know 5 books. There are many other messengers who received books from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we know the names of 5. Al-Qur'an, which was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Injil, the Gospel, which was revealed on Isa, Jesus. Al-Tawrah, the Torah, which was revealed on Musa. And then Al-Zabur, which was revealed on Dawood. And then the final one was Suhuf Ibrahim, the scrolls which were revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Dawood would recite Al-Zabur, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so easy on him. When Sayyidina Dawood would read Qur'an and make dhikr, the mountains and the birds would join with him and they would repeat after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا يَا جِبَالُ أَوِّبِي مَعَهُ وَالطَّيْرِ.
Awwibi means tarji', repeat after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the mountains and the birds to repeat after Dawood. Oh, imagine Dawood alayhi salam is reciting Quran and the mountains and the birds are repeating after him. Because everything around us is making tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says everything is making tasbih, everything is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you do not know. They're glorifying. And what is the sound of lightning? Thunder. What is thunder? Thunder is a tasbih of Allah. يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خَيْفَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the thunder is making tasbih. That sound of the thunder is tasbih of Allah. It's glorifying of Allah. Now tell this to a scientist is going to say, what is this nonsense that you're talking about? You don't know. Let me explain to you what thunder is. He will tell you that thunder is the sound waves that come from the lightning. When the lightning strikes, it causes a vacuum in the air, and that shock wave travels through the air, and that is what you hear in the form of thunder. Well, tell him that is right. And then give him an example. Tell him, imagine that there is an ant or a kingdom of ants. These ants are scientists like you, and they want to do a research on human beings. They heard that there's a creation out there called human beings. So this advanced kingdom of ants, they want to study about this creature called human being. So they send an ant, a reporter, they send an ant to report about this human being. This ant goes up to this human being and is studying this human being and writing all of the observations. The human being that was sitting turns out to be a Muslim. He says, Subhanallah. That Muslim, he says, Subhanallah. So the ant is writing its observations. The mouth opened and the tongue moved and air came out. And that is the voice that we heard. It was due to the movement of the tongue and the lips and the air coming out from the mouth in a form of sound waves that traveled through the air. And it will go down to the ant kingdom and report these findings. The ant will say, I heard a voice coming out from that human being. The mouth was moving and the tongue was moving and the sound wave came out and it traveled in the air. That's the extent of the knowledge of the ant, because it doesn't understand the language of the human being. But the human being, what was he saying? He was saying, Subhanallah. But the ant is not able to understand it, so it describes it as the physical motions that it can see. The same thing with us human beings. We are describing the physical phenomena of thunder or any other voices that we hear in nature, because we are incapable of understanding the language of the thunder. We're incapable of understanding the language of the birds or the language of the bees or the language of any other beast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. So we describe it in a scientific fashion and way. And in reality, it is tasbih. It is tasbih. يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ. The Ra'd is making tasbih. The unique thing with Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam and his son Sulaiman is that they understood the language of the animals and the birds. And Dawood had another quality that his son Sulaiman did not have, that when Dawood would make tasbih, the creation around him would join him in tasbih. It is a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the anbiya miracles. Sayyidina Dawood would make tasbih, the mountains are making tasbih with him, and the birds are making tasbih with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him another miracle, and that is iron, steel, would become soft in his hands. He could move it however he wishes. وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ. We made iron soft in his hands. Humans in that time, they had iron. But the process of making tools out of it was very difficult and time-consuming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made iron soft in the hands of Dawood. He would mold it however he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then taught him how to make shields, armory, out of steel in a new way. So it was a new invention. Before that, they would make armory in the form of iron plates, which were solid. So the soldier would have to wear that heavy iron plate, which has two downsides to it. First of all, it's heavy. The second downside is that it prevents flexibility in movement, because it's a solid plate of iron, steel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Dawood how to make armory out of rings of iron. So he would make the iron into rings and attach the rings together and attach rings to those rings until he would make a whole an armory that would cover the body. And this prevents and this eliminates the two downsides of the other armory, because it's very light in weight. Rings are very light. And it's very flexible, because it's rings you can move freely. But it offers the same protection, because it is from iron. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ. We taught him the making of metal coats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him how to make these metal coats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتُحْصِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ. So that it will protect you in your fighting. Allah is the one who taught him how to do this. In the other ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنِعْمَلْ سَابِغَاتٍ وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. Saying, make you perfect coats of mail, balancing well the rings of chain armor, and work you men righteously. Truly, I am also here of what you do. وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Dawood alayhi salam, make the rings proportionate. Don't make them too large, because if they're too large, they could be penetrated. And if they are too small, there could be some other negative aspects to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Dawood alayhi salam, وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. Make them the right size. In modern terms, we would call this a new technological invention, even though it happened through a miracle with Dawud alayhi salam. But I'm getting to another point. In modern terms, we call this a modern invention, just like a car or a computer or an airplane or whatever. Even though we all believe that everything is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somehow subconsciously, we attribute these things to the human beings who made them. So we're always impressed with the manufacturer, whether it be IBM or Intel or Toyota or Sony or whatever manufacturer is making for us these new inventions. And we always hold the scientist in high esteem, whether it is Isaac Newton or Edison or others, or Bell or whoever, Einstein. We rarely thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these things. Rarely do you find somebody saying Alhamdulillah for the car, or Alhamdulillah who made communication easy, or Alhamdulillah who made transportation easier for us, Alhamdulillah who provided us with the telephone or the car or the airplane or whatever. Whenever we attribute the credit, we give the credit to the human being. Now it's true that this happened through the human being. That is true. But in the end, who is the one who made it possible for the human being to do it? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Dawood alayhi salam particularly making these shields, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنَعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْسَنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَاكِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we taught him how to make armory for you, so are you going to be grateful? Allah is telling the human beings, it is Dawood who made this for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, be grateful to Dawood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is where the credit belongs. So whatever technological accessories we have, credit should go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created everything. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a blessing from Allah. And it is a test for the ones who made these things. And it's a test for the nations who are producing these things for us. Who are they giving credit to? In France, there was a Muslim PhD student who did an excellent research, and then he wrote on the cover page of that PhD dissertation, he said, and all credit goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if there is any mistake in this research, it is because of me. His professor, who happens to be an atheist, he said, you work for years on this research and then you give credit to someone who didn't do anything for you. And you, the one who worked for 4 years, you say that all mistakes belong to you. What's wrong with you? Can't you think straight? Now you're going to be a PhD student. I'm going to give you a PhD. And you're still thinking in this backward mentality. The credit doesn't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should say Alhamdulillah for everything. Alhamdulillah for everything. Every tool or every instrument or every machine or anything that we have around us, it came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through mankind. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that many of these inventions were invented in what seems to be a random way. I mean, the scientist was sitting down a tree and then the apple fell down. This might be a story, but with penicillin, we know for a fact that it came from a random observation. They were studying something else and somehow they discovered penicillin. And with many other things, the scientists would be studying something and then this thing comes along on the side and they found out about it and it turns out to be a greater invention or a greater study than what they were studying before. Who is turning their attentions to these directions? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say it happened randomly. It's not random. Everything is with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is qadr from Allah, taqdeer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that is haphazard and random in the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَدَدْنَا مُلْكَهُ وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحِكْمَةَ وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ We made his kingdom strong and gave him wisdom and sound judgment in speech and decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a strong kingdom, and we said that this was the golden age of the children of Israel. The time of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam. That is when their kingdom reached to its peak. And that is when it was the kingdom of Tawheed, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the kingdom of Islam. After that, the religion was changing and children of Israel were going down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him strength in his kingdom. His kingdom was strong. وَأَيْتَنَا الْحِكْمَةَ وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ And Allah has given him wisdom and the good judgment. وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ Allah has given him decisiveness. Being decisive is important for somebody who is in the position of Dawood alayhi salam. Dawood was a king and he had to deal with enemies, he had to deal with internal problems, he had to deal with many difficult conflicting situations. Therefore, decisiveness is important in such a situation. It is a quality that is needed for somebody in such a position. When you're dealing with militaries and you're dealing with enemies and you're dealing with huge nations around you and strong enemies, the issue of decisiveness is important. And decisiveness also is needed in court. See, there are some places where you need decisiveness, some places where it's not needed that much. In court, it's also needed. You have to have the decisive judgment. You can't go back and forth. You can't have one foot to the left, one foot to the right. You have to have a clear understanding of the situation and then a clear judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Sayyidina Dawood the decisiveness. Fasl al-khitab. He had the ability to study the situation and take a final judgment and go ahead with it. And then he would not retreat and not hesitate. Dawood alayhi salam reached to this stage after he went through training. See, people don't suddenly come out of nowhere with all of these qualities. We learn things through our knowledge and life experiences. Two sources. Knowledge on one side and life experiences from the other side. That is how we learn. And that is why we need to understand the importance of the concept of tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is important in Islam. Tarbiyah, training and raising up a person from one stage to another. You cannot have a revolutionary sudden change. Things have to go step by step. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Sahaba in the furnace. He put them through the tests for years and years. So in the end, when they graduated with the highest certificates. Put the Sahabi in any situation, he will never fail. Because they went through trial after trial, test after test, in the school of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they graduated in the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that he has left behind men who can carry the message. But they went through experiences and they learned from their mistakes. We're not born with all the qualities. The same with the Anbiya. I mean, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah put him through 40 years of preparation. He didn't become a prophet when he was born. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day by day. Everything in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the 40 years before prophethood was for a purpose. And the same thing with Musa alayhi salam, when we already talked about this when he was raised in the palace of Fir'aun. That was an experience for him. And Yusuf alayhi salam. With Dawood alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also prepared him through some tests. We're going to talk about one of these tests, a sample. Dawood used to have a mihrab, a place of worship, where he would stay in seclusion, in solitude, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away from everything, away from all distractions. And he would not allow anyone to come in. Suddenly, out of nowhere, two men appeared in front of Dawood. Tasawwar al-mihrab. They jumped over, they climbed over, and suddenly Sayyidina Dawood saw two men in front of him. So you can see that there was an element of shock and surprise in this, right? Suddenly, out of nowhere, you're in the depth of your tasbih and dhikr, and now you find two men standing in front of you, inside your house. Sayyidina Dawood was in a state of shock and surprise. And they saw that he was worried. They said, لا تخف, don't worry. They said,
وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَسَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابَ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض فاحكم بيننا بالحق ولا تشطط واهدنا إلى سواء الصراط.
We are two litigants, one of whom has wronged the other, Therefore, judge between us with truth and treat us not with injustice and guide us to the right way. So David, alayhi salam, was presented with a case. These two men said that we have a dispute and we want you to judge upon us with justice and truth. The case is as follows.
إن هذا أخي له تسع وتسعون نعجة ولي نعجة واحدة فقال أكفلنيها وعزني في الخطاب.
Verily this my brother has 99 ewes, sheep, while I have only one sheep, and he says, hand it over to me, and he overpowered me in speech. One man is saying that this other person standing in front of you has 99 ewes, sheep, female sheep, and I have only one. And he took away from me that one single sheep that I have, and he didn't give it back to me. There are many stories about this ayah, but all of them are Isra'iliyat. We're going to stay away from them, and we're going to stick with the Qur'an, with the authentic. So this man said, he has 99 sheep, so he has much more than I do. He's wealthier than me. And I only have one. And he overpowered me, he fooled me. He took me over with his beautiful words. And I handed over to him my single sheep, and now he doesn't want to give it back to me. Dawood alayhi salam gave his judgment. He said,
قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِهِ وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ.
David said, he has wronged you in demanding your ewe in addition to his ewes. And verily many partners oppress one another except those who believe and do righteous, except those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and they are few. Dawood alayhi salam said that he has wronged you. He shouldn't have taken away from you your sheep. And then Dawood said, and partners, they always wrong each other, except the few believers. Dawood alayhi salam is telling us, this is a thousand years ago, that most of the time partners, they wrong each other. Partnership, you usually find that every partner is trying to take over the other. And every partner is trying to outwit or try to outsmart the other one. And everyone is trying to work out the best deal for himself. And that always happens between partners, and there is an exception to that, and these are the ones who believe. And this is a warning to us that whenever you have a partnership, have it very clear. Have the terms clear, written down. That is very important in partnerships, to have clear agreements. When Dawood said that, the two men standing in front of him disappeared and vanished. Without saying anything, they suddenly disappeared. Dawood immediately knew that this was a test from Allah and that he has committed a mistake. He knew. He didn't need anybody to tell him. What was the mistake of Sayyidina Dawood? He didn't listen to the other side. He heard one side of the story. It sounded very appealing. 99 sheep and you have only one, and he took it away from you. Clear oppression. This man has 99 sheep and you have only one, and he took it away from you. And he gave his judgment. He didn't hear from the other side. And this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to test him. Why? Because Dawood is going to assume a very important responsibility, and he needs to have patience in giving out his judgment. And that's why they surprised him. That element of surprise and shock was to knock Sayyidina Dawood off his guard and suddenly present the case to him very fast. So Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam also gave his answer very fast. So the whole setup was in a way push Sayyidina Dawood to give fast or a hasty judgment. And that is what happened. It was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Sayyidina Dawood immediately realized that it was a test from Allah and that he has committed a mistake. What was his reaction? He made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَظَنَّ دَاوُدُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ.
And David guessed that we have tried him and sought forgiveness of his Lord, and he fell down prostrate and turned to Allah in repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. We forgave him. وَإِنَّ لَهُ عَنْدَنَا زُلْفَ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. And for him is a near access to us and a good place of final return. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا دَاوُودُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً. O Dawood, we are appointing you as a khalifa, as a successor over mankind. When did this happen? After Dawood went through the test. So the scholars say something interesting. They say that Dawood after the mistake was better than the Dawood before the mistake. Even though he committed a mistake, but Dawood alayhi salam after the mistake was better than the Dawood alayhi salam before the mistake. If we learn from our mistakes, we improve through our mistakes. Because now Dawood learned the right way to judge and to be patient and to listen from both sides and not to be hasty in his judgment. And that qualified him to be king over mankind. Tawbah, repentance to Allah can make us better. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. The ones who make repentance and believe in Allah and do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their bad deeds into good ones. Not only will Allah clear your account and you will start with a zero balance, not only that, but your previous sins will turn into good deeds. So the evil, imagine it, this dirt that you have in your past will turn into pure gold. Tawbah, that is tawbah, learning from mistakes. But we need to repent. Sayyidina Dawood, he asked Allah for forgiveness, Allah forgave him and became better. Same thing with Adam alayhi salam. He became a prophet. When did he become a prophet? Before the mistake or after? He became a prophet after he committed his mistake. Brought us down from paradise. He became a prophet after that. So we learn from our mistakes. But if we continue doing mistakes and we don't get the lesson and we don't get the point and we fail from test to test, we don't benefit anything and we become worse. The point is to learn and to benefit from the experiences that we have. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ. Rule among people with truth and don't follow your desires. Do not follow your desires. Why? فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. For it will mislead you from the path of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Those who wander astray from the path of Allah will have a severe torment. Again, Allah is telling Dawood to judge among the people and to rule among them and to govern among them with truth. And do not follow your desire. The most dangerous thing on the Islamic judicial system is following desires. The most dangerous thing in our relations with one another is when we base it on our own desires and not on the law of Allah. And as we say in Arabic, and I think this saying is also in English, al-adl fi nafs al-qadhi. Justice is in the heart of the judge. The law can be on paper, but if the judge does not want to apply it, he can find ways around it. You can. Therefore, justice is in the heart of the judge. And that is why we can only have justice through true Islamic system. Why? Because you either have good laws and a corrupt judge, or you have a good judge and corrupt laws. In the Muslim world now, in most of the places, We have a corrupt law with a corrupt judge. We have them both. Here in America, you have a corrupt law, but sometimes you have a good judge, sometimes you don't. The combination that we want is a good law and a good judge. And that could only happen when the law is Islamic and when the heart of the judge is Islamic. But if the heart of the judge is not Islamic, no matter how good the law is, if it is Quran sitting on his desk, it wouldn't do anything. If the heart of the judge is not in line with the law, it won't do anything. Because we have, in some Muslim countries, Islamic law on paper. We do. In many Muslim countries, for example, the laws relating to the family are Islamic. Divorce and marriage and their children rights and all of that, and women, the divorced and the widow, most of that is Islamic. But the problem is with the heart of the judge. Bribery and all those other problems. When we talk about Sharia, unfortunately, this is another problem that we have. Now we all say we want Sharia, we want Sharia. But then when we look at it, we find that what the people are looking for isn't really Sharia. I mean, ask, you find many people say, ask them, what is your definition of Sharia? Why are you asking for Sharia? He says, we want them to cut the hand of the one who steals, and to kill the killer, and to stone the adulterer. Is that Sharia? Is that all what Sharia is about? And then they would say, this certain country or that place is applying Sharia. Why? Because they would cut the hand of the one who steals and they would kill the killer. This is only part of a section of the Islamic law, which is the criminal code, the criminal law. That's it. I mean, do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all of the anbiya and all of the religions just to cut the hand of the one who steals and to stone the adulterer and to kill the killer? And then also, what segment of the society do these people make? The thieves and the killers and the rapists and the adulterers. What proportion do they make? It's a minority of the society. So all what Islam does is deal with these people, and the rest of us, we don't have any law to apply to us. Is that the Islamic law? Is that Sharia? That's not Sharia. That is only part of the Islamic law, which is relating to the criminal code or the criminal section of law. The Islamic Sharia that we are searching for is based on one important pillar, and that is justice. Justice for everyone. If you're going to court, you would get a fair trial. The judge would treat you justly, preserving the rights of others. Justice is an important pillar. And then the Sharia is to apply the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Now let's look at the four khulafa, which are our standard that we look at. Take Abu Bakr, the first khalifa. During all the time of Abu Bakr, we don't know in history that he has stoned any adulterer. Does that mean that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was not applying Sharia? This case never showed up in his time. Abu Bakr was busy with applying Sharia day and night. What was he doing? The establishment of Islam by fighting the Murtaddin and establishing a strong Islamic government, that was applying the Sharia. So he was dealing with this project, and that is Sharia. And then in the time of Umar bin Khattab, he came and found stability that was left behind from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The Islamic Khilafah was already stable. Umar bin Khattab did not have to do anything. It was stabilized by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Now Umar bin Khattab has to establish the institutions. Because you already have stability, now you establish the institutions. So he made a diwan, which is the treasury, to take care of the salaries of the government employees and the army. And then he established new ways and laws to divide the land among Muslims. And then he started paving the roads and making these infrastructure services for the Muslim Ummah. And then he worked on some other projects which were dealing with the very, very important role of the Khalifa, and that is the issue of jihad. And he is the one who took care of the jihad with the Persian Empire. By the time Umar bin Khattab died, the Persian Empire was dead. It was over with. Umar bin Khattab, because the Persian Empire was the stumbling block between Islam and the East. The Persian Empire was that wall that was preventing Islam from getting into the East. Umar ibn Khattab eliminated that wall, so by the time of Uthman ibn Affan, Islam was spreading all over Central Asia. And then Uthman ibn Affan, what was his Sharia? What was the establishing of Sharia in the time of Uthman? He worked on a very important project, and that is the preservation of Quran. That's a Sharia. and also spreading towards the east and continuing with the futuhat towards the north. And then in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he had to deal with the internal conflicts which were in the Muslim Ummah. So Ali ibn Abi Talib devoted his time of Khilafah, which was 4 years, to solve this internal conflict that was caused by the death of Uthman ibn Affan, by the assassination of Uthman ibn Affan. Ali ibn Abi Talib had to deal with that problem for 4 years. And then in the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he came to deal with other problems, so he is the first one to establish the Islamic navy. Because now the Muslims need to go in the sea, and they need to spread towards the north in the Roman Empire. So he's the first one to establish the Islamic navy. That is Sharia. That is the establishment of Sharia. To work on these projects which would serve the Muslim Ummah. So the Muslims in the time of Umar ibn Khattab, or in the times of these Khulafa, they would live with peace and security. They would travel from the east to the west of the Muslim Ummah, fearing no one but Allah. Safety and security. They would do their business and they would not worry. They would leave their stores open and go to Salah. This is the establishment of Sharia. And this is what we are looking for. It's not an issue of just establishing this issue of Sharia, which was important, obviously, the criminal law, because you cannot have security unless the criminals are put at check. But Sharia is larger than that. Sharia encompasses everything that is Islamic. Iqamatuddin, establishment of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very, very, very important thing for the leader. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ. Don't follow your desires. Our problem now with Islamic work is that we always deal with others based on our desires. I have a certain problem with you. I continue with that problem, and I try to justify it from an Islamic point of view. So it's not Islam that is instigating my dealing with you. It is my hatred towards you, and then I'm using Islam to fulfill it. No, we should instigate our actions based on Islam. And then we push our desires to follow the direction of the Sharia. Wherever Islam goes, that is where we push our desire. And this is the jihad of the nafs. You don't do things according to what you want, you do things according to what Allah wants. You do it Allah's way, not your way. And that is a very difficult discipline. And that is a very difficult and important jihad. The jihad of your soul, to fight these internal conflicts that are going in your heart, to follow the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow what Allah wants from you. And that is the meaning of the word Islam, to submit to Allah. That is what it means, submission. So you submit your will to Allah. You follow what Allah wants from you. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen and we obey. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications and Translations at 1-877-745-3330 or 303-574-0095. Our fax number is 303-373-0943, or visit our website at www.albashir.com. That's www.al-bashir.com. You can also write to our address at 10515 East 40th Avenue, Suite 108, Denver, Colorado, 80239-3264. All rights reserved for Al-Bashir Company for publications and translations. No part of this series may be reproduced in any form without written permission from the publisher. Unlawful reproductions may prevent Muslim businesses from further producing quality programs. Your consideration is greatly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please proceed to the next CD.